Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
She's living inside my heart now.
Boy, this song takes me right back to 1986. In studio with us is Tim Kazurinsky. Tomorrow at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, we are hosting a screening of About Last Night. Tim's going to be there. He wrote the movie along with some producers. Answering your questions, go to my Facebook page, Pete McMurray, if you'd like tickets. How did you get Bob Seger to get on the soundtrack for this movie?
The producers did that.
Wow. Hey, Bob, do you want to do this? Yeah.
And Sheena Easton, she's on there.
Sheena E., John Waite.
Yeah. When I had seen a rough of this film, that scene of moving in together, that they had actually had Hart. They had the music of Hart doing These Dreams.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I love that song. You know, I was like, yeah. Oh, God. So when I finally saw the final cut, all the music was different. I was like,
what happened?
What happened to Hart?
They wanted more money.
Yeah, but it was the soundtrack was great.
Did they film that entire movie? I know, obviously, they filmed the outdoor parts here in Chicago, but did they film that apartment scenes and all that in Chicago or back in L.A.?
Jane, you got it right. They shot all the outside stuff here. They shot a little. Actually, they did shoot a little bit of the girls' apartment scene here. But literally, all the indoor stuff shot in L.A. The bar, Mother McGuire's,
yeah,
which was amalgam of Mothers and Butch McGuire.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Just had Mother McGuire's.
Yeah.
They just took shots of all the. You know, it looks. But the scene, the stuff they built in L.A. looks exactly like
that
restaurant.
So that was shot in L.A.?
All shot in L.A.
Even
all this bar stuff.
Remember they were at the Christmas party for New Year's and they had all, like at Mother's there. It's Mother's or is it Butch McGuire's?
Butch McGuire's has a train.
Yeah, the Christmas train.
Yeah.
It could have been in the building.
It was amazing. They did the same. Actually, I remember that they did very similar to that. They kind of recreated Michael Apted did for Continental Divide, which I had a little movie I had a cameo in with John. But they redid like the Billy Goat sort of stuff.
Right.
And they did recreated a lot of internal Chicago stuff for that. They do remarkable work on those sets. It's incredible.
They really, really do. And sometimes when you're watching a show and you're watching somebody walk through the hallways of a house, and I've been on sets where I know it's a hallway of a house and I know this is a set, but when I'm watching it, I'm like, wow, did they really shoot that on location? Because they make the rooms look so real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredible what set designers can do.
When you wrote this movie, Rob Lowe, did you picture him? Did they already have it cast, or did they cast him after?
They cast him after. In fact, the director of record at that time was Jonathan Demme, and who gave great notes, great feedback, wonderful director, loved him. But the head of the studio just one night decided that he wanted Rob Lowe in that role because his daughter liked him. Whatever. So, bingo. Hired Rob Lowe for the part, and Jonathan Demme quit the next day.
Tell Jane about the scene when Rob Lowe was naked one day. How many women were on the set?
Well, when it finally came when the movie was being shot, I rewrote it 13 times over 7 years. So when it's getting shot, I'm under contract to be in Toronto, Canada, shooting Police Academy 4.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And so I'm like, I couldn't get beyond set watching this film get made. So, but I did have a couple of days off, and I flew out to California to shoot a scene. I have one scene in the film. When Demi Moore breaks up with Rob Lowe, she goes out on a bad blind date.
Yeah.
God, that's right.
I am the bad blind date.
Is that you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing card tricks, and I pull a card out from behind. Yeah, yeah. I'm I'm everybody's bad blind date.
That is fantastic.
That is totally you.
But when I was there and they were shooting a scene where Rob Lowe is getting out of the shower, and every woman, you know, on the studio is on set that day to watch Rob Lowe get out of the shower naked, and it was...
What is Rob Lowe? He's got to know. I mean, he's there every day. He's like, there's five people here today, and there's 55 people here now, and I'm naked.
Well, I was literally standing between my writing partner, Denise, and one of the producer's assistants, and as he's getting out of the shower, I hear my writing partner say, "Oh my God," she says, "you know," she said, "I'm married, and I'd do it." She used a different word than that.
Of course.
And on the other side of me, the producer's assistant says, she said, "I'm gay and I'd do it." that is what a star is. That's what star potential is. I'm like...
Well, the chemistry between those two in the movie about last night, Rob Lowe and Demi Moore, I feel like there was something going on when the cameras were off.
There had been. Before the movie got made, they had been an item from St. Elmo's fire, I think.
Yeah, because so that whole Brat Pack thing was happening, right? St. Elmo's fire, and so these guys were just sort of rising up to popularity, and so they'd be a natural choice to put in as these cast members.
Yeah.
Because they were the ones that were leading the way.
And she, what a crier. I mean, that woman, Demi...
She could cry on command.
She's amazing. Yeah.
Wow.
There's a British actress named Juliet Stevenson. I don't know if you've ever seen her. There's a movie called Truly, Madly, Deeply. She did with Alan Rickman. Okay. And that girl, is the only one who's a better crier than Demi Moore.
Yeah, Demi has those scenes where you just have that one tear that comes right down the center of your face.
Oh yeah.
How do you do that?
That girl can cry, I tell you.
Did you think of bad things? Like, did you ever ask her?
I have no idea how she draws that up.
Can you cry on demand?
No.
Okay.
I can't even laugh on demand.
I was about to ask, can you laugh on demand?
No.
You can't cackle? I'm a good cackle on demand.
Are you?
Yeah, so every time you tell a joke, Peek, I'm like...
Wait a second. Boy, I thought I was funny. Hold on a second there. About last night, tomorrow night at Kinzie and State at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, I was watching YouTube over the weekend, and they have the movie on YouTube, but it's going to be so special because we're going to watch the movie, and then we can ask you questions. I mean, the audience can ask you and the producers questions. How did you get Rob Lowe? I want to know how you get Bob Seger.
Yeah.
Who's at the top of his game in 1986.
See, Stuart Oken and Jason Britt are going to be there for the talkback, too, and they can fill in all those blanks. On the talkback, it'd be great. Any questions you have, we're happy to answer.
And the questions we can ask are some of the famous quotes that come from About Last Night, because you obviously created those famous quotes.
Yeah. Well, there's some of it's an amalgam of Mammoth stuff and Tim and Denise in there. So it's you know, sometimes we get mistaken and get credit for his lines and vice versa.
Do you have a favorite line? Maybe one of yours.
Well, one of them is, it's official. I've become my mother. Yeah. And which was actually my line. People think it's a Denise line. But but there's lines that I wrote that she thinks that...
Right.
People don't know who wrote, whether it was the male writer or the female writer that wrote the dirty line or not. And I got to tell you... Denise is very, very capable of getting down and dirty.
Now,
she's a great writing partner.
Do you write a movie knowing that they're going to take off their clothes and get naked?
Yeah. There's certain things that they go a little more graphic than you imagined that they would.
Okay.
Because I remember the first time I took my daughter to see the film.
I mean, the shower scene with Demi and Rob is a pretty steamy scene.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had forgotten about that, and I took my 15-year-old daughter to a screening.
Oh, boy. How uncomfortable was that?
Whoops. But you know what? She was totally fine with it, and they asked her a question afterwards, and she says, well, when people are in love, you know, it's like...
Oh, you're so, like, wow.
She was great.
Where did you learn that?
She handled it beautifully, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I can remember. So in 86, I guess, is when, right? It came out. We were watching it.
Yeah.
So I was 15. 15?
I hate when you say that.
Yeah.
I was in college.
You were 35?
No.
But I mean, at 15, you're like, oh, you see a scene like that, you see anyone naked, you're like, oh, I can't watch this. It's just embarrassing. But then you've been watching it for years and years and years, and now who cares about those scenes? I watch it for the scenery, and I'm like, look at what Grant Park used to look like, and look at the street.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I mean, these people, the way they're acting in the rain and in the snow, I'm like, they are in Chicago.
And there were no lights at Wrigley Field when we shot that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now there are.
You're right.
That's the only thing that's different besides Demi Moore's chest.
The final scene where Rob says, hey, can we go out to dinner? And then he takes off and he starts running through, is it Grant Park?
It's Grant Park, yeah.
Grant Park, because in the background, all you see is the Aeon building. There's no other buildings there.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So many buildings have been built since 1986.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting, Jane, that you brought that up because I noticed that yesterday when I was watching YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah, that skyline is markedly different now.
Right.
It sure is. I remember from watching the movie when I would come to Grant Park, you know, in later teens, knowing that I've seen this movie and see this area, I'm like, this is where she walked her bike and she kicked along wearing her overalls. I'm like, I'm
here. Oh, the overalls.
Yeah. I wanted to be in that scene. I wanted to, when I got older, to play softball and meet a guy and go on, play on a team and ride my bikes.
Yeah. 16-inch softball.
It didn't happen. Yeah.
The real kind.
I want to ask you about Somewhere in Time. Did you go to Mackinac Island and film that?
Oh, yeah.
That's with Christopher Reeve and Jane Seymour. I love that movie.
That's a great soundtrack, too.
Really? I need to look up the soundtrack?
Oh, my God. That soundtrack is phenomenal.
Somewhere in Time. Have you seen that movie? Christopher Reeve goes back in time to
date. I love both of those actors. I love Jane Seymour because she's got a great name.
Yeah. She just posed naked for Playboy.
She did?
Yep.
Just this month?
In her 60s, yep.
Really?
Yeah.
She's naked again?
Yep.
She's done it like 3 different times, right?
Drop of a hat. Every decade she's in there. So.
Good for her.
I love her.
Somewhere in Time, great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just fantastic.
Correct. Yeah, terrific.
And you spend time in Mackinac Island?
Yes, I had the best time. And two of my Second City castmates were there.
Okay.
Bruce Jarko and Audrey Neenan. And we had a great time. And then they accidentally destroyed the film in processing. The chemicals weren't on. And so, like, 2 months later, we had to go back and shoot it again. And it was,
wait, the whole film destroyed?
No.
Just parts?
That's parts of that section on Mackinac. So we got to go back and do that stuff again.
It's great.
And it was so great to see everybody. And he was so nice. Chris Reeve was the greatest guy.
Well, sure.
He's always Superman in my eyes.
He was a super guy, yeah. And years later, after his accident, they have, every year on Mackinac, there's a reunion.
Oh, yeah, they have a party
every
year.
One weekend.
Does Jane go back there?
Jane goes back a lot, and they invite me to go back every year. But there's 1,000 people show up. They dress in those costumes.
Oh, wow.
And these hopeless romantics go there
for
this weekend. And it's an amazing sort of weekend where they relive, and they all make their own costumes and wardrobe stuff. But she went back after Chris's accident, and she's a painter and had done this beautiful watercolor of them on the beach. She's selling for a lot of money.
Oh my
and
gosh!
Donating all the money to his foundation.
That's awesome.
A sweetheart. Yeah.
And Mackinac Island is so charming. But they have, you can't have a car, so it's all horses.
Right.
And it's like Hydra.
Yeah, it's like Hydra in Greece.
The island in Greece.
And then the horses have to relieve themselves, and then they sell fudge at the store next door. So I'm always leery about buying the fudge.
Oh, you got to have the fudge if you're on Mackinac Island.
I know, but you know how they sell it and they package that up. They're like, you see that horse right there?
Yeah.
Wow, I've never really thought about that.
Really?
I haven't been back since. I went there with a girl and we broke up and I haven't been back since.
There you go. Yeah.
I have okay memories of it. I knew it was, we were breaking up.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. To this day, I can't really enjoy fudge unless there's the smell of equine urine.
See?
About. Yeah.
Speaking of the sweaty ball, can we talk about that at the Museum of Broadcast Communications?
What a great segue to sweaty balls.
Saturday, December 15th. This is the second year that this is happening. Tim.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is the crazy, crazy event where everybody gets to dress up as their favorite SNL character or just wear a really ugly sweater. There's an ugly Christmas sweater contest that you can win prizes. But it's there's a live band. There's karaoke. There's also access to the SNL exhibit. If you've not seen it, it's a fantastic exhibit that fills the whole museum. And so you can go off and visit that. But, there's food by Blue Plate, and cocktails from Tito's Vodka, and Pabst and Old Style too, if you want.
Peterson, just say cocktails. Peterson.
Yeah.
Say ugly sweater, and I'm in. I'll eat Christmas sweater.
This thing sold out last year, and it's going to sell out again this year.
It's really great.
Sweaty ball.
And And how do we? How do people get tickets?
They can go to SchweddyBall.com.
That's SchweddyBall.com.
Yes.
Yeah, all one word. SchweddyBall. Not. There's no plural, just ball.
Right.
SchweddyBall.com.
Just ball. Yes. I feel like we've gone to another level in our relationship where we exchange numbers today.
Oh, no.
Are we there yet?
Don't do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Sure.
Okay. I mean, my brother lives in Evanston. We can hang out, have some coffee on a Saturday.
We go to Crossroads and have some gyros.
Yeah, yes.
And spanakopita.
Whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
I love it.
Tim, galataburica.
I make a great galataburica.
You do? Oh, that's my favorite.
Is it? It was my mom's favorite.
Yeah. I honeymooned in Greece. We were talking about the island of Idra.
Really? I wonder what was going on because Kaczorinski is Polish, right?
We're getting Greek on you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Polish. It was Irish, isn't it? Polish, that's it. Timothy O'Kazarinski.
Yeah. I love you. You're the best. Seriously, we could have you on for 2 hours.
I mean,
we
could
talk about anything.
Kazarinzikis.
Yeah.
And people can't follow you on social media. I think you'd be perfect for Twitter since you're a writer. You could write funny
one-liners
all day. That would be your thing.
I actually have a kid in Brooklyn that occasionally throws something on a Twitter thing for me. That
a kid in Brooklyn?
You know, you can do that on your phone. I can help you set it up on a Saturday
when we're having coffee. I'm a moron.
But you're so smart and funny. All you need is one-liners. Like, I don't do a lot of Twitter because I really have nothing to say.
Uh-huh.
But I do a lot of Instagram because I take a lot of pictures.
Yeah.
So
Instagram's big. Yeah.
Instagram, I just take a picture and post it, and here we go. But Twitter, you got to be clever and funny. I mean,
that's you. That's your wheelhouse right there.
Yeah.
Tim Kaczorinski, what are you wearing tomorrow? What should I be wearing?
Oh, no.
I'm going to be a pretty cash.
Okay.
It's comfortable. Wear clothes. Comfortable clothing.
Yeah. Like you're wearing now? Something like that?
I got this overshirt from Orvis, whatever.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Got it.
Yeah.
Tomorrow
so
night.
Watch the movie.
Museum of Broadcast Communications, about last night. Look, I'm losing my voice because I'm laughing.
Because he's so excited.
Thank you.
I got a secret here if you want.
A secret. Yes.
He does have a secret.
Oh, my gosh. You're carrying those around.
Look, I made my Broadway debut in An Act of God with Jim Parsons a couple of years ago. And it was him and two angels. I was the angel. And one point, somebody got in a coughing fit. And I threw him a lozenge. And after they were coughing and throwing him off his game. And because he played God, I was the Archangel Gabriel.
Right.
And he said, "Did I see you throw something into the audience tonight?" I said, "Yeah, yeah." That there's a woman that had that coughing fit. He said, "Oh, she was driving me nuts." He said, "Yeah, I threw her a cough drop."
Threats.
He said, "Oh my God, you really are an angel."
That is the best. Tim Kaczorinski, great to see you. Thank
my
you for
pleasure.
Coming in.
Thank you so much.
And we'll see you tomorrow night.
Thanks, Jane. Thanks, Pete.
It's 720 WGN. WGN radio.com. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris, in for Bill and Wendy. Thank you, Ryan Burrow. What do you have? Everything okay?
I wanted to tell you that I did 30 bags of leaves this weekend, and I used my I was going to take a picture actually and tweet it to you, but I forgot to do it with my Wolverine style hand.
Well, we talked about that last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So I had 30 bags. They're probably sitting under snow right now, but
bags?
Yeah, 30 bags of leaves.
I raked on Friday too. You're right. You had to get
Friday
rid of
the
leaves
day.
Because you knew that the snow was coming.
It was the neighbors. It was the guy two doors down, my neighbor.
Yep.
I did it. The
You're
guy across
outside.
The street. And the wind would come and we'd all just look at our piles. And the wind would go. It just felt like it was a losing cause.
Well, you know what I saw in Buffalo? People weren't out there with the Wolverine style mitts trying to pick up leaves or raking anything. They've got this big truck with a huge... Looks like a vacuum, right? It's a huge, what do you call
Along
it?
Along the curbside, just sucking them all up?
It's like a big shop vac?
It's like a big, gigantic shop vac. It's a huge tube or whatever, and they just go over and it sucks it all up.
A lot of communities have that if you can get the leaves up to the front. It's a little more challenging when you've got leaves in the back, but the ones in the front, if you can just get them straight to the problem with that is they found a lot of kids playing the leaf piles on the side of the streets. And so when you got all these trucks going by, they don't see the kids are playing in there.
That's a good point. Of course, we hear that from a news guy.
Yeah.
One story's enough on those.
Do you clean the leaves off the street?
Off the street? No.
I do. Because they get caught in your curb, you got to clean them up because they're going to sit there all winter.
Leaves and they're kind of wet and
mushy. Yep, they are wet. Absolutely.
I left my garage open for about 20 minutes on Friday.
Yep.
And I came in and like the leaves just, woohoo, let's go inside. Let's hang out in the garage and swirl around a bit.
Yeah. But what do you call those things? The Wolverine hands?
They're called scoopers.
Rake glove scoopers that you use.
Yeah. Best $8 investment I ever made at Ace Hardware.
I wonder if there's a Cyber Monday deal on those now.
Maybe.
I don't know if I need those because my technique is the big rake into the snow shovel, dump it into the bag.
That's one way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're getting two different kind of workouts there. With the big Wolverine rakes, you're getting a nice back workout because it's the arm motion of
doing it. I'm definitely bending at the hips, too.
Squats right there, but you're getting both arms, so it's kind of like a press right there, see? And then Pete, with the shoveling, you're getting maybe a full body.
Right.
Yeah. You do any shoveling today?
I did.
Did you do any shoveling today?
I did not.
Okay.
I walked
did
through
you?
The snow.
No. Actually, my wife, my kids go to the same school as my wife. We got a call at 10 o'clock last night. No school. So I said, because normally I do it for them, you know, because I walk to the train and I do it for them. But I'm like, you're on your own. You get the day off. You got all day to work on it.
I love shoveling.
Let the kids go out there and play.
I love it. It's a great workout.
For the heart.
I shovel the steps. I shovel the walk. I shovel the neighbor's walk, the sidewalk all the way down the street.
Was this the heart attack kind of snow? Was this the heavy wet
this
stuff?
This is the heavy wet snow.
It still is.
Yep.
So what's the temperature outside? It must be melting. I mean, it looks fine from the window here.
I didn't think it was. It was 31 when I left the house this morning. So it's probably going to get up a little bit.
It's got to be like 38 degrees.
It could be melting
today. 27 on. That's what Siri tells me.
27.
Oh, 27.
Man, you're right. 28 degrees.
Getting down to 14
okay, so
tonight.
It's going to stay.
14. Yes. Everything's going to freeze?
This is when you open up the do you guys open up your cabinets under the sink so it doesn't freeze under there?
The one in the basement, yep.
Yeah, got to be careful about that.
Yep.
But you know what? You're right. Because this was a wet snow, we don't want it to melt. Because if it does melt and we're dropping to 14, then it's all ice.
Exactly.
And that would be very bad. Yeah, 25 degrees, cloudy, high of 33.
I shovel because of the postal workers. Because they have to walk through it.
Sure.
Think about walking through all that snow all day. And then pushing the little cart, that's got to be crazy.
Yeah, that's a tough job.
That's why you tip them during the holidays.
And all of those little Amazon workers, too, are dropping stuff off, right?
I don't know if you heard this. We were talking about tipping earlier.
Every conversation I circled back.
Jane suggested, so since tomorrow's Giving Tuesday, give a little bit more and tell them that you gave so you don't have to tip. That doesn't work.
I find that I don't carry as much cash around as I used to.
Nobody carries cash.
So it's hard to tip. You know, I really just like
However, the guy.
They're closing banks.
Oh, I know.
People in the service industry are on Venmo and Chase QuickPay.
So you're telling me that when I go through the car wash and there's a guy at the end who just does a quick wipe down.
No.
Let me PayPal you here.
I'm talking the person that cuts your hair or the FedEx person that's bringing the... your boxes from Amazon.
Okay.
Every day. So how much are you going to tip?
Gosh.
But you know what? That UPS guy or the FedEx guy, whoever's bringing my Amazon boxes, it's a different person every time, and they rarely get it right. But my mail person, I know.
And they don't work on tips like restaurant people do, right? I mean...
Yeah, but you want to say thanks at the end of the year, or you're going to find your box in the front yard. I have the same people every time.
Yeah.
I have two different postal workers. I have a male and a female.
Did you change your people since you moved? But you didn't move far. So.
I did. I used to have a guy, a postal worker. His name was Smitty, and he would smoke a pack of cigarettes during his route.
Hey, Pete, how you doing? Good to see you, man.
Hey, Smitty.
Yeah, all right. Have a great day.
And who's the new one?
Guzman.
Oh, Guzman.
Guzman.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't know the woman's name.
Now, did you feel like when you were tipping Smitty that money was going straight to his cigarette habit?
Yep.
I did, or the bar. Yes.
The bar.
I've actually walked out during the summertime and had a beer with Smitty.
Oh.
My old postal worker.
I'm sure the people at the back end of the route were really happy that they were getting their mail.
Everybody has a beer with Smitty. The last people aren't going to get their mail.
One of my brother's friends was a postal worker. So Brother Ed, his buddy, it was Casey Carlson. He used to deliver our mail, and we were at the end of his route. So he would come over all the time and drink beer at my mom's house. So it's normal to me. We were at the end. He had a half a block left. So he would drink and then finish his route.
Then he had to go back to work and return the truck.
Oh, yeah.
I think times have changed a little bit.
People drink and drove back in the day. Now they don't.
Back before there was danger, right?
When I used to go out and sneak into the bars on the south side, there was a lot of people out early for quarter beer night, and a lot of those guys would have to get up at 4 in the morning and go drive UPS trucks.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they would be out till 1 in the morning, and so would I. I mean, whatever. I wasn't going to drive a UPS truck.
One of my greatest Christmas images ever that's etched in my brain, my wife and I, it was the weekend before Christmas, we went to, I don't know if you're familiar with Palatine, Illinois, there's a place called Gators. They got really good wings there, so we go in there.
I've been there, of course.
Yeah, and I kid you not, it was the UPS guys and the FedEx guys cheersing each other at the bar. I'm like, did I just walk into a commercial?
You're
what
like,
just happened?
Right, yeah.
The FedEx guys and the UPS guys all getting together.
Everybody's happy. A lot of love.
That is a great visual right there.
It was. Yeah. It was pretty amazing.
I put poinsettias around them in that, a little bit of snow,
exactly.
And there's the card.
Exactly.
You really created that nice visual. That was great.
The holidays, I know it's all about giving, but I feel like we overschedule ourselves. I was telling Jane, I have an event on Tuesday, of course, at the Museum of Broadcast Communications for About Last Night. We have a parent function on Thursday, and my wife is an overscheduler. So we have Friday and Saturday in December all taken up.
Well, that'll happen
everything.
Just because of parties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have bear games on Sundays. So you can't go anywhere.
But here's the deal. So I'm overscheduled my entire life. Like, I book everything end to end. Just deal with one day at a time.
I know.
And then you don't
you
feel
can't
so
look at
overwhelmed.
The big picture.
Because if you look at every day, you're like, oh, I can't get through this. And you just, I do the same thing. You get very anxious, but just take it back a step, please.
But Ryan, I only have one kid, and Charlie's just playing one sport right now.
Okay.
So basketball. But still, I'm running him everywhere.
My daughter's got, so coming up to state for cheer competition.
Oh.
She's 11, so I mean, take that. But it's not like it's.
Is she a flyer?
She is, because she's tiny.
Yeah. How many times has she fallen off the top of that?
There have been some tears.
Yeah.
There have been some tears and drama. There's always drama with 11-year-old girls, apparently. So she's doing three practices leading up to state, which is the beginning of December.
That's great.
My son's in Cub Scouts. They're doing a bunch of, you know, going to Luther Village and handing out boxes and selling wreaths. And then they're all singing in the choirs, you know, for kindergarten and for first grade.
Yeah,
So, I mean, it's like every day, same thing, Pete. It's like every day. It's like, okay, what do I got to do today? Where do I have to be today?
Yes.
Just tell me.
That's it.
Just point
That's why
where.
You come here, and then you go, okay, I'm not going to shovel because you...
Exactly.
Let you guys deal with it.
My son did 6 or 7 years of Cub Scouts, whatever it is. And instead of going for the fast car, you do the boat race, what's it called?
The regatta.
Regatta in the fall, in the spring.
The Pinewood Derby.
Pinewood Derby.
Instead of going for the fastest, we went for design, and we won every time.
Wow.
That's design. If you need some suggestions,
very good.
Doing the Pinewood Derby? When is that?
I guess that would be 2019. You know, the big thing now is wreaths. And in fact, I'm delivering them tomorrow. Judy bought one, Steve Bertrand. So our pack does, instead of the popcorn, you know, a lot of Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts do the popcorn. They do coffees now.
Yep.
We do wreaths. And I asked one of the leaders, I'm like, why do we do wreaths? Because basically, my son's got to go up and down and ask people to buy $37 wreaths.
Yeah.
I'm like, I feel like I'm fleecing my neighbors here. What's going on? But, you know, you get a 6-year-old with a, you know, Cub Scout costume. People just hand their money over and don't think about it. But I talked to the leader and he said, we make 50% on the wreath sales, whereas we'd only make 30% on the popcorn sales.
It's all about cash.
$1,000 on the wreath sales.
I would have bought a wreath. Are they real wreaths?
They're natural. Yeah, they're real wreaths. There were 4 different versions of them.
Are they decorated already?
Yep.
And
you can get lights and put on them. They smell great. We got the boxes in. They're in my garage right now.
I love that.
They smell wonderful.
That's great.
Yeah.
What a good idea.
Yeah, I honestly didn't. I felt nervous walking up and down the block asking people to spend money on 30.
Do people answer their doors?
You know, we selectively chose some people that we were
familiar
with.
You texted them. You're like, hey, I'm outside. Answer the door. My kid's there.
Well, that's what you have to do now. Nobody answers their door anymore. Ever.
My neighbor doesn't even have a doorbell, so, you know.
My neighbor left his garage door open 2 weeks ago, and I went and knocked on his door. Nothing. I'm like,
why don't you run in, close it, and jump over the
sensor? Well, I didn't have his phone number.
No, you run in the garage.
He's got cameras. He's watching everything you're doing anyway.
And you jump over the sensor.
I've done that before.
We do it all the time.
Yeah.
We do it all the time.
Get busted.
All the neighbors on the street that leave their alley garage doors open, Kurt will run in, close it, and he jumps over the sensor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. While it's coming, they get limped on while you jump.
I've done that, but I don't know.
Bad knee. You got a bad knee.
No, I feel weird being in someone else's garage. So you get busted in this. What are you going to say? Oh, your garage is open. Sorry.
One time I was lurking around your backyard and I felt weird.
It is a little strange.
It was at your house, and I hadn't been to your new house, and you said you were home, and I was trying to ring the doorbell, and
That's
you didn't
right.
answer.
I got maybe he's in the back.
So I thought maybe he was in the back, or maybe this isn't even Pete's house, and so then I was walking in the back, and I'm staring in the back of their house, and I'm like...
Oh, I was walking the dog,
but
right?
I saw a rock that said Pete and Sarah, so I knew it was your house. And then all of a sudden, I started really feeling creepy.
It's weird.
That's
but
weird.
Seriously, no one answers their door anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Or their phone.
No, nobody answers their phone.
If I don't recognize the number, no.
Shoot.
Sometimes if I do recognize the number.
Well, maybe
that's
it's
why we text each
the
other.
Doctor's office or someone important. Yeah.
I love the Red Cross, and it's please go out and donate blood. It's a wonderful thing to do. But man, once you hit that limit, because I think it's every 56 days or whatever you're allowed between blood donations, yeah. Boom, the calls start coming. Mr. Burrow, can we sign you up for the next round? How often are you
donating blood?
Unfortunately, this time just once this year. But they've been hitting me up every 50 days or so. And the numbers are all coming from Illinois numbers, East St. Louis and
so
Peoria.
You know.
So it's them calling you.
Yeah, yeah. Saying, yeah, it's time. Why don't you sign up? So
I you know who hits me up all the time is Bradley University.
Me too. And sometimes I pick up the phone and
no.
I talk to that. Oh, I talk
you
to the
You see a
students.
677 number, 309-677. Yeah. That's BU. Don't pick it up.
Yeah, well,
they want more money.
I know. I talked to some kid one time, and then they were just, we get off on tangents. We start talking about life after college and what you should do.
Sure.
And then it goes far, far, far away from what you're going to donate.
And then you're giving over the last four digits of your social security number.
No.
Just take it out of my check.
Go, call
you
me when you're
it.
Out of school. Maybe I'll help you out.
Jane and I both went to Bradley.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody knows that because we say it every time.
Mm-hmm. How do you know that we went to Bradley? Because we tell you over and over.
I went to the Bradley University basketball game last Friday. They played the UIC Flames. We lost.
They lost.
Bradley
yeah.
lost.
But they beat Penn State the other day. I watched that game in Peoria.
We're rivals now because now that my Valparaiso University Crusaders are in the Missouri Valley Conference.
Yeah, you're right.
That right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bradley's got to be in first place at 5-1. So be careful, guys.
They lost. It was such a bummer. It was a 1 point, and the kid at the end could have made the 2 point shot to win.
Duke got beat over the holiday,
right.
too.
This are all these crazy tournaments that are going on in like Maui and Florida and Cuba. I don't know. All these college tournaments are going on, so you never know who you're going to play, right?
Right. Yeah. And it's like a round robin thing.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to fly to Hawaii, you want to play at least two or three games.
Yeah, a couple of games. Yeah.
It's good stuff. It's good to see you, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks,
you too.
Ryan.
Okay. It's Ryan Burrow. That's nice.
That was fun. I like to get a little insight into Ryan's
what
life
else you got?
Now and then.
I got nothing.
You got nothing
Just
else.
Just kidding.
We can talk about Thanksgiving still.
I would love to talk about Thanksgiving.
Yeah?
I want to say that I showed up this year, high energy, and brought my A game, and I feel like my family just pounces.
What do you mean?
Because, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm the middle child and I get it from both ends.
I'm number six out of 12. When you say they pounce, you mean that they pick on you.
Yeah.
They needle you.
Yes.
You open yourself up to being picked on and needled.
Coming
you
to Chicago, can you give me reservations?
Station.
Pete, go get this.
Yeah.
We're out of ice. You got to run to the store.
Oh, well, that's fine.
How do you not check the bar before everyone comes over? I stayed at my brother Jamie's and my brother Dave, who stayed at my mother's house. The bar was empty. I had to go buy liquor and ice.
But you love to run to the store. I love to go to the liquor store. We went a couple times. In Buffalo, we went to the grocery store every day. And if you had to leave to go somewhere, it wasn't a question, do I need to go get something? It was, what do we need?
Exactly. There's always something.
Whether it be ice or more K-cups or, you know, more milk for the kids. But it's fun. I love going to Wegmans, which is their grocery store.
Okay.
I love any grocery store. And I love going to the liquor store just because it's fun.
Do you stay at a hotel or somebody's house?
No, everyone stays at Kurt's mom's house. Everyone.
Oh, no.
There was 20 people. They're sleeping. Everyone was sleeping everywhere.
Oh, no.
Oh,
do you get a room? Newly engaged, Jane Monzuras?
Yes. We get a room. The kids sleep out, and then his sister and her husband sleep on a bed or another bed, and there's three bedrooms. Yeah, it works. It's fine.
That's how my mom's is, but I'm not going to have my wife sleep in the same bed that I slept in growing up. My mother, I swear to God.
What?
You
still have your childhood room at your mom's
house. My parents moved after everyone grew up, and they moved into a bigger house, okay. But they still have the twin beds that were bunk beds, but they're twins now.
So how many people can your house
New mattresses,
sleep?
By the way, new mattresses.
She has one, two, three, four, three bedrooms. Four bedrooms counting hers. So three bedrooms that people can use. I'm sorry, one, two, three, four.
And doesn't someone, four bedrooms. One of the grandkids, jump bunk in the bed with grandma?
Pull out couch down in the basement. Yeah, yes, they sleep everywhere.
It's the same at Kurt's mom's house.
Exactly.
Exactly the same.
Somebody sleeps under the dining room table.
Yes, yeah. A lot of kids are sleeping on the couch. But it's fun to wake up and people are sending pictures of eating leftover desserts and people are having coffee.
Right.
And there's just craziness going on.
But when you have crazy people there, you can't go to sleep at a decent hour. That's the problem.
I know. Yeah. And I get, if Kurt's like, bye, I'm going to bed. I'm like, wait, I'm still up.
See, I can sleep through anything because I grew up with a household of people, but my wife likes to sleep at my brother's because it's quieter.
I lived on Chicago Avenue, so I can absolutely sleep through anything.
Isn't that crazy?
I guess it was loud when I lived on Chicago Avenue because you can hear, like, you know, every time you hit the street light or street pipe, you heard it. But now... I can sleep through anything.
I mean, I used to sleep growing up. We were near a busy street, so I had the window open. So hearing cars is not a big deal. We can never have the windows open in our master bedroom in our house.
Way too loud.
Never.
Do you know what I also find super interesting is when I'll go somewhere. I was just somewhere recently, and I'm like, gosh, it's dark here. It's so dark. Oh, it was in Phoenix. I thought, oh, it's dark here. Why is it so dark here? It's because we have so many streetlights. And Phoenix has streetlights, but we have just so much more.
God, you're right.
Sometimes I go places, I'm like, wow, it's really dark here.
It was pretty dark in Peoria.
Just because we live downtown.
Right.
Yeah, it's dark in Peoria.
What do you got going on today?
So, you know, I host a TV show called Living Healthy Chicago.
Yes.
Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go do some voiceover work for them because we had a couple new shows coming out in December. So I'm going to do that. And then I'm out of town tomorrow. I go to Newark, New Jersey.
You're unbelievable. This is, I swear to you, Jane does this. You fly out for a day and a half, do a shoot, and come back.
This time I'm going Newark and then Danbury, Connecticut, and then Yonkers.
What are you filming?
I do this fantastic series called We Make for Good. It's just a video series, and this is like the last two episodes. It's actually the last episode and then a bonus, but it's about groups and organizations that make items and then donate them to people in need. So one of them makes quilts for shelters, and the other one makes quilts for newborn babies that wouldn't have anything else.
And where can we see this?
You know what? You can go to my website, janemonzares.com. They're on there. Or you can go to fairfieldworld.com. They're on their website as well. Because Fairfield is the company that donates their products so people can make stuffed animals and blankets and things like that. So it's transformed my life because there's so many amazing people across this country that just give of their time and talents to make something and give it away. It's beautiful. Right. It's a beautiful thing.
So I'll see a picture on Instagram tomorrow.
You will, absolutely. Today radio, tomorrow that. And you know what? And then I'm done traveling, so I'm so happy.
For the holidays?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So this is why you can't host with me tomorrow night.
Right. Okay. That is why I can't host with you tomorrow night.
Museum of Broadcast Communications at Kinsey and State. It's right on the corner. A special screening of About Last Night at 7 o'clock with a Q&A afterward with producers and Tim Kazurinsky, who just joined us. It's such a great movie.
But
you forget.
So how many times, seriously, have you seen this movie? Bits and pieces, all of it. Like, just
easily 20. Yesterday,
yeah,
I
more
watched.
Than that.
I'm not kidding. Yesterday, I probably watched a dozen scenes.
Yeah.
You know, the breakup scene, the shower scene. They have the movie trailer
so
on there.
It's so sad when they break up.
God, I know. It's rough.
But then when they go to the bar, don't you want to go there with Jim?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you do.
The bar scenes, the final scene when he asks her to dinner and then he walks away and you see the Chicago skyline, which isn't really the skyline.
And literally, if you don't even like the story, reason enough to watch the movie.
I mean, it's a love story.
To see Chicago.
It's a great story.
Who doesn't love a
Demi
love story?
Demi Moore and Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
I forgot to ask Tim, did he get paid for the second one, the remake in 2014? I'll ask him that tomorrow night.
Did they use the same? No, it's a rescripted one.
Are you sure?
I don't know.
Think it was the same premise.
I didn't see it. You know what's another good love story? Love Actually.
Okay.
We watched that over the break, too.
I'm sorry.
Haven't seen Love Actually?
I think I have. Is that with Hugh Grant?
Yes.
Okay.
So great.
Yeah.
It's a great little story how these people's lives are intertwined.
You can get tickets on my Facebook page. All right. Pete and Jane in for Bill and Wendy. Bill and Wendy are back tomorrow, right, Jazz? Yep. They're back.
Thanks
tomorrow.
To Bill and Wendy for letting us
yes.
sit in.
Yes, and thank you, Jasmine, for
Thanks,
producing.
Jazzy.
You guys have
no
a great
problem.
Day. It's 720 WGN.